May I have a volunteer to come write some words on the board, please? If you don't mind. This morning, my little burden is obstacles. An obstacle is that which opposes. Anything that stands in the way and hinders progress. Hindrance. Obstruction. Either in a physical or a moral sense. Now, I hope that no one here today is under the illusion of enjoying a utopian life. Utopia is an imaginary society or a community where practically everything is perfect, where there is no opposition, there are no obstructions, basically no obstacles, nothing that opposes. We need not think that we're going to just skate through life with no bumps, bruises, or scrapes. Every one of us has obstacles to overcome, or at least one, but very likely more than one. When I was, I remember back in the late 1970s, early 1980s, many of you may also remember, that if you left La Ronger driving north towards Highway 16 on any back roads, if you were going to go to any of the Forbes family on Bell Road or any place on Corey Road or Cooper Road, you had multiple obstacles. Those obstacles were in the form of tremendous potholes. You couldn't drive safely more than about 10 or 15 miles an hour. If you did go beyond that, it was at peril of hazard to your life and your vehicle. Many is the time, thank you, Brother Chad, many is the time that I remember seeing vehicles on the side, bent rims, tires that had had the sidewalls cut from the potholes, hit it too fast, bent the rim. I don't know how many times people would come in with a tire that was flat and a rim that was bent. You'd have to if you wanted to save the rim, try to hammer it out if you could. But those were obstacles in the way. I remember one time driving, making a delivery, an appliance delivery. And I was going south on what is now called, we call it Airport Road, I forget the highway number. It goes from Highway 190 down towards I-12 by the airport. And I remember an obstacle. And it caught me by surprise. There was a substantial hump of dirt. I don't remember why it was there, but I do remember the obstacle. And I do remember that when I hit that hump of dirt, I was in a pickup truck, it squeezed me down solidly in the seat. And then whenever I went over the hump of dirt, up I shot to boom, the top of the truck, and my head hit the roof overhead. On the other side of the bump, when I came down, back down the seat I went, and back up to the top I went. And that time when I came back down, I was scrambling to try to keep my head above the steering wheel so I could see because I landed in the floorboard. That was an obstacle. It was a challenge. And I think about that. Those are things that many times, sometimes you see them, sometimes you don't. But an obstacle is that which opposes. Anything that stands in the way hinders progress. An hindrance, an obstruction, either in a physical or a moral sense. Now, I've had written on the board several things that are obstacles. Abuse, divorce, neglect, sickness, disease, affliction, mental capacity, loneliness, depression, shattered dreams, grief, etc. If we're going to make it through this life, folks, we must have a determination to press through the obstacles. Every one of us has at least one obstacle in life. I don't know all that you have. I don't know what yours is. I know some of mine. And I know that I have to push. And I have to press to be able to move beyond those things that oppose me in my own life. And you do the same. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, "There hath no temptation..." The word temptation here means putting to proof. "There hath no putting to proof taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will with the putting to proof, will with the temptation, not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with it also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." Now, I'd like for us to think about this a moment. Turn to the book of James, chapter 1. We'll talk about this temptation business just a little bit more. James, chapter 1, verse 12. "Blessed is the man that endureth putting to proof. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. Let no man say when he is tempted," or tempted to evil, "I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man to evil." My words. "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own want to, his own lust, his own desires, and enticed." Folks, it's important for us to remember that. Now, not all of these obstacles that we have listed here come because I have done something wrong. But they come because somebody has made a decision. Somebody has made a choice. Somebody has had a putting to proof presented to them. Somebody has had something in their own heart, their own mind, in their own life. God, who so graciously gave to every one of us the ability to reason and think and have a will, He gave us a will, gave us the ability to make choice. I know you've heard me say that many times, but folks, it is something that is so vital for us to understand in our walk with the Lord. Every one of us has the ability to choose one way or the other. You will have obstacles that you will face in your life. Whether it's anyone in this category or not, I can't say. But I know that there will be obstacles, and very likely you'll have some of this. There are people who deal with these. They deal with abuse. They deal with neglect. They deal with divorce, loneliness. They deal with decreased mental capacity. There are those who struggle with those areas in life. It's an obstacle. And if we're going to make success in this world, in this life, I have got to be willing to look at the obstacle that is ahead of me. And I have got to be willing to understand that I have two choices to make concerning this obstacle. I can either allow that obstacle to reign over me and control me, or I can do everything that I can possibly do, muster up my strength with the power and the grace of God to push through the obstacles and get on the other side of that obstacle with victory in my soul. These things, folks, you don't just wake up one morning and the sun is shining brightly and the birds are singing and the squirrels are flitting around and everything is beautiful and happy and the flowers are blooming and all of the world's problems are solved that day. It doesn't happen like that. You might have a beautiful day and be able to enjoy it. It's a beautiful day outside today. Be able to enjoy the sunshine, and that can cause there to be an uplift in the spirit. I remember, it's been many years ago. Oh, it seemed like we went through a siege where rain every day, mist, fog, sea fog rolling in off the Gulf of Mexico to where around 10, 10:30, 11 o'clock, that stuff would roll in, and it was so thick you could hardly see to drive around, and it was depressing. And I remember making a comment to someone about the sun. I said, I think it mildewed. And those kinds of things can cause us to become depressed if we let it. If we let it. We have a song on our hymnal that says, the title of it, I believe, is The Sun Behind the Cloud. We always have to realize that there is a sun that is always shining. My grandma, Inez Beasley, used to say, the sun will always shine on Saturday. And I, as a little boy, I remember hearing her tell me that. And I thought, I'm going to check this out. And I found that I didn't always see the sun on Saturday. But you know what I've come to learn? The sun always will shine on Saturday. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. The sun is always shining. It may be obscured by the clouds, but it's always there. It's never obscured. It's never gone, I mean. It may be obscured by the things that cover it and for my vision, but it's always there, always doing what it is supposed to do because God designed it that way. God's plan of salvation is so effective and effectual, and God has designed it to be such that it will help us to overcome these obstacles in life. Whatever yours is, whatever it is that is troubling you this day, whatever it is that is plaguing you through life, God has designed a plan of salvation with enough grace, enough strength, enough courage, so that you and I can be successful in this life. Thank the Lord. Back to 1 Corinthians 10:13. Reread this verse. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Thank God, He is faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. These are the words of the Lord. It's the Word of God. When a trial comes, whatever it may be, when an obstacle presents itself, whatever it may be, the Word of God has said that with that obstacle, with that putting to proof, with that hindrance, whatever it is in the way, that God has made it possible that there will be a way to escape. Now, I want you to know this. When you are tempted by your own lust, your own want to, your own desire to do whatever it is that the enemy wants to cause you to do, to be tripped up, tempted to do evil, because those temptations come. I want you to understand, young men, young ladies, when those temptations come, God has already designed an avenue of escape that you do not have to succumb to that temptation. You are not required, you are not destined to succumb to the temptation. He has devised a plan again, a plan of salvation that has made a way of escape. There is always a way out. There is always a way around. There is always a way to go over, under, through, around. There's always a way that God has devised for us to escape the temptation to do evil. And there's always a plan that God has devised to help us be able to go around the obstacles of life. Now, the Apostle Paul said in the book of Acts, chapter 20, chapter 20, verse 23, and the first part of 24. Let me read 22. "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying, bonds and afflictions abide me." In other words, what he was saying is, obstacles will be there. I know that the Holy Ghost has let me... Folks, the Apostle Paul was one. That if ever there was a man who had obstacles in his life, he did. Plenty of them. Beatings. Shipwrecked. They tried to kill him so many times. Let down the basket over the side of a wall. Trying to escape. Those things happened to him. Nearly beaten to death. Stoned, left for dead. Obstacles. He said, "Now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem. I don't know what all awaits me. But I know this. The Holy Ghost has witnessed to me in every city that there's obstacles there." And then he said, "But none of these things move me." Determination. None of these things move me. I know what is out there. I know that I'm going to face opposition. I know that I'm going to deal with pain, hurt, very likely physical hurt. I know that I'm going to be dealing with discouragement. I know I'm very likely to be left alone. You remember his letter to John Mark? I think it was to Timothy, I believe he said, and send John. You remember the situation between Paul and John Mark? They had a little disagreement about some things along the way. But he says, please send him. Because he's profitable to me in the ministry. I'd love to see him again. So please send him. And bring the parchments. Bring those things because they're also valuable to me. But the Apostle Paul was doing what he could to work around the obstacles that were placed before him. None of these things move me. Folks, you and I are going to have to find a place on our face, on our knees before the Lord when these obstacles present themselves. We're going to have to find a place before the Lord where none of these things move me. The Scripture tells me a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I know that we face disappointment. I know that we face hurt. I know that sometimes we can become overwhelmed with these kinds of things in life. But we need not allow those situations and circumstances to rule us in life because we have an advocate with the Father. The obstacles will come. But none of these things move me, he said. None of these things move me. Now I'd like to turn to the book of 1 John. Chapter 3. Verse 8, last half of this verse. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Now, common sense tells me that there are still plenty of works of the devil going around in this world. Folks, I face them every day just like you do. Opposition. Obstacles. The works of the devil. Those things that would do everything they possibly can to hinder me, to derail you, to cause us to be led astray, turn aside. The enemy is still working hard and overtime against us. But, John said, for this reason, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that He might destroy the works of the devil. Where? In me. That He might work in me the ability to destroy the works of the devil. Some of these things, abuses, divorce, neglect, the things that people deal with because of choices and decisions that were made, those things are hard to overcome sometimes. But I want you to know today, Jesus was manifested. Jesus came to this earth to give you the ability to have a power working inside of you that would destroy those things that would destroy you. He gave to you the ability to have the power in your life when the enemy would do everything he possibly can do to destroy your soul, destroy your life. That Jesus came, He was manifested to destroy the power that would destroy you. We have to ask for it. We have to put in for it. We can't expect, folks, that we're going to live a life that is just a utopian dream. There will be these obstacles, but thank God, through the power of the Son of God, we can overcome. I really appreciate your time and attention this morning. I pray that God will help us, everyone, to put in for all that we need in Christ Jesus. Getting on our faces before the Lord, asking Him to deliver us from these things, these obstacles that would seek to destroy me. I know we have a song. One verse of it says, enemies may strive to injure. Satan, all his arts employ. He, God, will turn what seems to harm me into everlasting joy. I believe that song is, He will hide me. Maybe we could sing that song this morning. He will hide me. Thank you for your time and attention. God bless each one is my prayer. Amen.